Scripture reading for today is Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and I shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Good morning, happy Sabbath. Good to see everyone here today. Beautiful, another beautiful Sabbath that we're having. Come together as brothers and sisters to worship our Christ and our God. We thank thee that we can know and look forward to the future for God's children. We pray that we may be strengthened by this knowledge, and that we will do everything through Jesus Christ to have this achievement in our lives and other lives that we come in contact with. Truly, may we represent thee to a dying world in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes. This is a third in a series of about Jesus taken from ministerial association. See that when we look at the book of John, John being the beloved disciple of Jesus, say that the one that was closest to Jesus and Jesus loved them most, they say. But truly, I think Christ loved all of them equally. But what a chapter we see here in chapter 14. As I said, Jesus addressing some of the most important things in life and offers hope in them today for each and every one of us. In his hour, greatest hour of need, he still looked to the disciples, soon to be crucified. He encouraged his disciples, and that his encouragement is for us also today, to be able to take the time to read and heed these words that we read here in chapter 14. So we're going to look at what John tells about Jesus. Seeing Jesus here, or John, it said it was written in about AD 90. In the commentary, you can read where that one time the expert said that it wasn't before AD 150. Another place it says it was even later than that, but they come to a conclusion it was written about AD 90. So that would be about 60 years after Christ's death. We see that he was doing it. And we can see in this chapter where Jesus offers hope. I know that chapter 14, the first four verses we read last week had in Dan's sermon that he had today, but we're going to look at it again today to see about a heavenly home, especially there in verses 2 and 3. And if you would look at that, we'll read that, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So he tells us he has a prepared place for a prepared people, and that's you and I. We're a part of it. We don't have detailed information about heaven. We can only imagine it right now about that heavenly city, especially the one that Abraham was looking forward to. But when we arrive there, we know we're going to be at home. We know that this place is but a stepping stone to the future, and our home will be in heaven. But then on this earth made new, which will be our heaven at that time after 1,000 years. God is only waiting for the manifestation of Jesus Christ in his church before that can take place. But we're going to dwell in the Father's house, in the Father's presence, free from sin, sorrow, suffering, and separation. We will all be together one time. Anything that hinders the glory of heaven, and we can read that in Revelation 21, verse 4 and verse 27. Wipe away all tears, death, and pain. Anything that would keep one's name out of the Lamb's book of life. We pray that this morning that each one of us, our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Paul had seen it, but couldn't find the words to express it. What he had seen, he was able to say that whatever was over there was far better than what we have down here, Philippians 1:23. He gives us that heavenly hope as we read there in verse 3. He reminds us that one day he will return for his people, and that's a surety. Paul sheds a little more light on it in this monumental event in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. And if you would turn there in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. The awful words that we read before. 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So we see that that's going to happen. Also, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Today, people doubt it. They even mock it. But Jesus is coming to pick us up. He's coming to take us home with him one day soon. And it's sooner than any one of us can think or even imagine. So we know that the best advice we can have is to be ready for that heavenly homecoming, also there in verse 3. The disciples are upset that Jesus is going to leave them. They can't understand it. But he tells them that while he's going away and where he is going, that they can be there with him, but not right now. They know that Peter wanted to be with him and go with him, but he was going to suffer on the cross, and no one could follow him there. But with the surety that after that, that they would be with him one day in the heavenly home. And we have that surety today to see that. And we can read that in Revelation, or part of it, in Revelation chapter 1. Turn there, Revelation chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto the fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice at the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, and saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be thereafter. But we can see one of the greatest descriptions of all times penned about the risen Savior is found in Revelation 5:6. Revelation 5:6. Revelation 5:6. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the world. We know that verse right there can be a whole sermon by itself. This Jesus we are going to be able to see in glory. Jesus offers help, as we read the rest of the chapter, verses 4 through 31. There is help from Jesus in the matter of salvation, verses 4 through 11. We won't read all of that, though. But I just want to get back to John 14. Yes, in these verses, Jesus tells the disciples that there's only one plan of salvation, and it's for all mankind. He declares himself to be the only access to God that man can have for any person in this world. No other person, in no other way can we reach God. And he goes beyond that revelation and says that he is a representative of the Almighty God to humanity. These verses you can look up yourself, that we won't go into it. But Jesus is the only means of salvation for humanity. Acts 4:12. Acts 16:31. And the most familiar, John 3:16. All bear testimony to the truth of salvation is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. There's also help from Jesus in service, verses 12 through 14. Let's read that, 12 through 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whosoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. What a promise that Christ gives to each and every one of us. And then he gives us a threefold promise that relates to the matter of his helping us to honor us. Jesus declares that we will be able to do greater works than he did. What a privilege that gives to each and every one of us. Are we truly God's children to be able to do these works? He will hear us as we pray to him. He's given us that of blessed assurance that he will listen. If we call upon the name of the Lord, he will hear us in our time of need, knowing that we do not serve alone, that he will be there with us, that in his presence and his attention about our prayers are made easier through knowing this with each and every one. We serve a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. You can read part of that in Jeremiah 33:3. As it is said, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Yes, there are many things that we know not, but if we truly follow Jesus Christ, he will reveal them to us. He not only listens and says that he promises to hear our prayers, he also promises us to move in such a way that will bring about an answer. He listens, and then he goes to work on our behalf. We serve a Lord who is able to help us in our need, as we read in scripture reading today, Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. He also helps us to surrender, as we can read there in 14:50. If you love me, keep my commandments. And in 19 through 24, yet a little while, and the word seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live. Yea, shall ye live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest himself to me. Judas said unto thee, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which has sent me. So he knows it. Speaks about our surrender to God's authority. We declare to surrender to him. All should be in the name of love. He tells us two great truths about the love that he has for us that we can have to him. He gives us the proof of love, makes it clear in our obedience to him. And his word is the absolute proof of love to him. So we need to have obedience in our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. That obedience does not gain us entrance into the kingdom, though. He gives us the promise of love. The promise to those who are obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ is that God will manifest himself in each one of us. Then also, he will give us the Holy Spirit. Verses 16 through 18 and verse 26. 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. And I, even this, you know, knoweth him, and he delivereth, dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So we know there that we can have the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's going to gives us several truths about the Holy Spirit in the ministry that he gives to believers even today. In the spirit of the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised the disciples that when he left and went to the Father, that he would ask the Father to send the Comforter. And we know the Comforter to be the Holy Spirit. His permanence in our lives. Sometimes this is hard to believe and hardly true, whether it is the way that we act, sometimes the way that we live, to have that permanence in our lives. But when the Spirit of God takes hold and takes up residence in our hearts, he's there to stay forever. He will not leave us. He has his purpose in coming. Purpose of the Spirit in the believer's life is manifold. These verses describe his plan for each and every one of us, and his purpose is coming into us at conversion. He comes to indwell within us, verse 17, as we read there. At the moment of salvation, the person becomes the temple of God. Each and every one of our bodies can be the temple of God through salvation in Jesus Christ. God in the form of the Spirit comes in and lives forever. He wants to take a hold in each one of our hearts. We pray that we do not chase him out. The Holy Spirit is going to empower us. Verse 21 gives us the power to live and labor for the Lord. And without him, we know that we can accomplish nothing for the glory of Christ's sake. We have to have that indwelling power in each and every one of us to be able to do that. But Jesus tells us when it fills us and leads us, we have the ability to accomplish things that we would not ordinarily be able to do. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Yes, Jesus Christ will strengthen each and every one if we are willing. He's also here to instruct us. Verse 26. One purpose for the Holy Spirit living with us is to instruct us in the things of God. He's the one that teaches us about the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the things of God that we need to know. He's also here to remind us, also verse 26, when we become discouraged, the Holy Spirit in our soul rises up and wraps the comforting arms of heavenly love and protection around us and reminds us that we belong to Him. He encourages us to keep running, to keep going, to keep living for Jesus. I have to take these verses with surety of life, especially the last 2 weeks or last 2 months of my life here. I just pray that each one of us are able to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ at every move of our lives. To guide us. And the Holy Spirit always shows us stillness in verses 27 through 31. Well, you can read them for yourselves to see that. As Jesus concludes his thoughts of chapter 14, he speaks to his disciples, to their troubled hearts once again. Because they do have troubled hearts. Not really realizing that Christ is going to the cross yet to be sacrificed. He reminds them that he is still Prince of Peace. That even though he's going away, he will not take that peace away. Even though their lives are going to be shattered, they can face it with the assurance that they have in the peace to keep moving forward. And we can have that same thing. We know that our lives are going to be shattered here in the very near future. So we have that true assurance today that we can have the Holy Spirit there to guide and direct us. Now, as we end today, we can be glad that when we do not understand what is happening, when we don't know which way to turn, when it seems that everything is falling apart, we can count on Jesus. He has given us all what we need today. Whether the need is for salvation or just peace of heart, the remedy is found in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. Christ invites us to come in so that He may live with us and within us, and we can cast all our cares upon Him. Amen. Yes, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the life that He may play in our lives if we allow it, to have the Savior dwelling within us, to guide us and direct us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will convict us, will show us a pathway to live, to represent our Heavenly Father. We pray this morning, Father, that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray and ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.